Hi, this is Mark Little. Welcome to the monthly session. This is where we get together each month and try to resolve some issues in your practice. We focus on, traditionally, we focus on client service, how to serve your clients at such a high level that it drives unsolicited client referrals. But at your request, as of this year, 2023, we are getting into client acquisition and everything else that that I've done. Any way I can help you, please let me know. As you may recall, I contend there are three projects that you need to master. These are projects that require skills on your part to be successful. So the projects are client acquisition, which is lead generation, lead conversion, which is, how do you actually convert a potential ideal client into an actual paying client? That's a skill. And then third is client service. How do you exceed client expectations? So if you have questions about any of those three skills, any of those three projects, lay it on me. We will help you each month when we get together. I go through the questions that have been submitted since the previous month, and I select one or two that I think are the most useful for everyone. So let's get to it. I try to always start off with just showing you the questions that we're going to cover today. Last month, I walked through the four skills required for a financial advisor to master client acquisition. So somewhere in the process, in conversing with a member of the Advisor Pact Monthly program, an advisor heard me mention this, and so they just asked me to reiterate it. So we covered it last month. If you want to go back and look at the last session, I will go through that in greater detail. Yeah, I spent about an hour going through these four skills, but I will summarize them today. And then what are the five toolkit practice management tools? This was actually about six questions coming in from different advisors, in essence, trying to calm down several things that were happening in their practice. And it occurred to me that what I don't think we've ever really discussed in this setting is the our flagship program, the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. And what we do over there with advisors that are in our flagship program to keep the business up and running like a well-oiled machine. We have five tools that we teach over in the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, which we call the five practice management tools. So I thought we would walk through those today in response to a bunch of questions that we got on basically how to run a practice more efficiently. All right. Well, let me tell you, if you're new to the program, from my heart, what I think is the most valuable part of this program. If you are struggling with anything, and I just can't imagine, because of I've been in this business 40 years, there's never been any point in this business that I wasn't struggling with something. It might have been struggling with a client or struggling or a client situation, or maybe struggling with a team member or a team member situation. Could be something related with lead generation and do I have enough people to sit down and talk business with on a monthly basis so that I am not behind on my new revenue goals. Whatever your problem, the benefit of this program is to identify at any given moment what is the biggest issue facing you and your business. Or put another way, try to think of, what's the one obstacle that if I could get Mark to help me with that one thing, well, it would allow me to move forward in a way that I haven't been able to up till now. So if you'll go into our site, and what I'm showing here is the Advisor Pack Monthly program. But if you're listening to this and you're a member of the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, or even if you've just found us through the Mark of Mastery, go to any of our sites and find where it says contact us. It's either a pull-down menu from the top, like you see here, or in most of our sites, you can go all the way to the bottom, and in the footer, it'll have something that leads you to contact us. So when you identify the question or issue that you'd like me to help you with, contact us. And if it's for me, so if you have a technical question, you can type it in to my team. For example, if you're in the Advisor Pack monthly program and you need a different module than you're working on right now, that's fine. Just type in what you need. But if it's a question for me, in other words, it's high level, it has to do with some major issue that you want basically me to respond to as opposed to my team, then you'll see right on there, there's a clear plain link, click here for a message to Mark. And then you'll get this screen right here. All you'll need to do is click that big orange start recording button and explain to me the situation. Tell me what the obstacle is, what's the roadblock, what's the bottleneck that you're dealing with, what is the issue or problem that you'd like my help with. Just explain it, spend 2 or 3 minutes and just sort of give me the context of the whole thing. And then what I'll do is I'll collect these and I'll either get back with you in between these sessions, or if you don't hear from me, that means that I have selected it and we're going to cover it here at the monthly session. Okay. Now, another thing we covered last month that I got a lot of feedback on is this right here. This is the list of all the different language and vernacular that we use in our program. One thing you'll learn in working with me, because we've been perfecting little aspects of this business for over 20 years, we come up with acronyms and names for proprietary tools, proprietary reports, procedures and processes that we recommend that you implement into your business, like the 3-meeting process is a perfect example of that. What this is if you'll go to mastery.link, you'll pull up a list of all the strange vernacular. We call this the lexicon of terms. Well, if you have problems making a copy of this spreadsheet, I just encourage you to contact us or Google it. It's a Google sheet. Make a copy. If you Google the term, make a copy of a Google sheet, you'll get the instructions on how to do it. All right. So let's take these questions one at a time. Let me just go through them. The first question was, referring to what we talked about last month, which are the 4 skills required for a financial advisor to master client acquisition. Could you run through those again? Yes, I can. All right. Now, the way I set this up was that it took me years, literally years in my 20s, to figure out that client acquisition is a big term, and it really broke down for me in the way that the methodology that I developed for acquiring clients, I broke it down into 4 skills. So I'm going to go through these 4 skills, and I'm going to tell you that for sure, these are the 4 skills for using my methodology for acquiring clients. But my methodology is not the only way. As a matter of fact, most financial advisors use some kind of sales technique or sales tactics or, appointment confirmation process or scripting or something along that line. That's fine. I am putting out there that I believe that these 4 steps are the same no matter what client acquisition methodology you're using. If you have a script that you use that's an appointment setting script, well, I think these 4 skills are still required, even if you use some sort of a sales technique, all right? But you tell me. So you know your technique for acquiring clients. All I know is mine, because as I've said many, many, many times, when I was in my 20s, and I was hired by a Wall Street-based firm, I refused to use sales techniques. I'm introverted. I have call reluctance. They were trying to get me to get on the phone and call strangers, and I was like, I am never going to do that. So it took me a couple of years of starvation in this industry, and I had to suffer through meetings with my manager, my branch manager, like frequently, where they were about to fire me, you know, hey, if you don't pick up your production, we're going to fire you just like that. And I'm like, wow. So somehow, some way, I was able to limp along for a couple of years. And I finally dialed all this in. I came up with what we now teach is my methodology for client acquisition. And I know these four skills are required. So let me walk through them. Now, again, if you want to see this in more detail and go through it like step by step, go to last month's webinar, and that would be the February 2023 webinar replay. Go back and look at that. I go through this in great detail. But let me take these one at a time, and I'm gonna go through this in 5 minutes. And this is something I've never tried before, but I'm going to try it today at the suggestion of one of you. I was talking with one of you about a member of our Advisor Pack Monthly program about how a lot of the things that I do are quite complicated and it's hard to explain it in less than 5 minutes. And he suggested, why don't you put up a timer for 4 minutes and then explain it as best you can. And then when the timer goes off, you just wrap up in 1 minute. So we're going to try that today. I'm just pulling up a Google timer and let's see if I can explain this in 5 minutes or less. There we go. We are rolling. All right. On your mark, get set, go. All right. These four skills, I think it's a hokey title, but I couldn't think of anything better. And Rick Barrera, my business partner, encouraged me, just go with that. And it's the greatest marketing machine ever devised for financial advisors. Okay, so I agree. That's hokey, sounds salesy, but I can't think of any better name for these four skills. Once you've mastered all four, I believe that is the greatest marketing machine ever devised for financial advisors. So the first of what skill number one of four is called ample people. Do you have ample people to talk to? My good friend Bill Bachrach is fond of saying that every worthwhile project begins with a list. So the question on the table is, do you have a list of people that want to sit down and talk business with you that's large enough or ample enough to keep you busy and to meet your goals? I can't tell you how often I'm talking to a financial advisor and they've got very few names in the pipeline. So this ample list of people that want to sit down and talk business with you, I call that your pipeline. So the question is, how do you get ample people in your type pipeline? Well, you get to decide what ample means. For me, I always wanted 200 names in my pipeline at all times so that I had more people that wanted to sit down and talk business with me than I could possibly fit into my schedule. So, okay, yeah, that's also a problem, but do you have that elegant problem? If not, it will take you 2 weeks using my methodology to build up to a list of people to keep you busy enough. In my methodology, you're adding over 100 new names to your list per month. That means in 2 months, you've got, 200 people, which is my goal. That's ample people. But if you're adding 20 to 25 names, new names per week, would you not agree that 2 weeks, if you're actually doing that, that wouldn't you agree that 2 weeks from now, when you have like 50 new people on your list, that in 2 weeks, you can ramp up to where that's enough to keep you busy for now. And oh, by the way, within a month or two, you'll have 200 names on that list. So you're not only after 2 weeks having enough people to talk to, but you've also got the problem solved permanently. Momentum is called weekly momentum. What is the week? Do you have enough weekly momentum to turn this into an actual business? I can't tell you how many advisors I'm talking with who say, I just don't have, I'm not meeting with enough people. I have enough people on my list, but I'm too busy serving clients or whatever the problem, time management or whatever it is. The question is, Are you having enough weekly momentum to turn this into a business? So what is that momentum? I would say 10 per week. So my measure is if you're not meeting with at least 10 non-clients a week, then you don't have enough weekly momentum to make this a business. So the third skill is what I call marketing 101 relationships. Are you developing relationships in a way that pretty much everyone you know can clearly articulate to someone else what you do and what makes you better than everyone else who does what you do? So if you meet with, let's say, 100 people a month, non-clients, there's my 4-minute cut. So the question is, that's my 4-minute timer. Let's turn that off. Let's reset it. Okay, let me just finish up in 1 minute. So the question on the table is, when people meet with you over time, is it a marketing 101 relationship, which means not only are you getting to know them personally, but as they're getting to know you, they understand what you do and what makes you better than everyone else, so that if someone else asks them, hey, what does Mark Little do, that you have trained them, in essence, you've explained it in a way that they could articulate what you do and what makes you better than everyone else. In other words, when you're developing relationships, are you making sure to make that crystal clear to everyone that you know? Because if you are, then you're creating an army of marketers who, if they wanted to, they could explain what you do to a potential ideal client friend of theirs. And then finally, do you never miss an opportunity? I call the final skill opportunity. It's it takes some skill not to miss oblique references, or if you're meeting with a friend and they just say something subtle like, oh yeah, my wife and I just do not agree on money issues. Do you recognize that as the opportunity that it is? And can you skillfully convert that, make that into an appointment? And so those are the four skills. Do you have ample people to talk to? Are you meeting with enough on a weekly basis to have sufficient weekly momentum to turn it into a business? Are you establishing relationships with people, not by anything you're doing, but by them asking you normal questions? They somehow know what you do and what makes you better than other financial advisors. And then fourth, can you honestly say that you never miss an opportunity when someone in the course of just a regular conversation are in essence asking for your help, but that's not that clean? They say something. Do you actually pick up on the opportunity? So you notice these weeks in here. Watch the longer webinar if you want. I believe you can ramp up all four skills in 12 weeks. Why do I say that? Because I've been coaching advisors through this for years. We can get someone from not having any of these skills in place to actually generating revenue in less than 12 weeks. So hope that helps. If you need more, go back and listen to last month's webinar. Okay. Next question. Again, this is a kind of a combination of a bunch of questions that came in, like, Mark, I don't think my administrative manager is prioritizing the work properly. How do I get on top of that? Or another advisor said, I always seem to be off track in some area of my business. Like, I'm on track with client service, but then I fall off track with another project called client acquisition. And then I focus on client acquisition and I start ramping up revenue. And then I notice that another project, let's call it serving clients, that starts to slip. So I got questions of these type. I call them practice management questions. And it led me to want to take you to the folder that I have set up with you to go through what I call the 5 practice management tools. So I'm not going to go through every folder today, but I'm going to spend 5 minutes going through what we call the 5 toolkit practice management tools. All right. What are they? Well, first, the first tool, and again, they're called the toolkit tools because it's this is what we do in our other programs. So if you're in the program with us called the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, it's a bigger program. It's more rigid, definitely harder than, you know, this program. Advisor Pack Monthly is self-paced. You go at whatever pace you want. And if some months you have a lot of time to do, you know, development and training, well, then you dive into it. If some months you don't, well, then you slow down. I mean, you're currently in a program that is totally self-paced because you're busy with other things. So some clients, some advisors want to jump in with both feet fully into the river with me and start implementing all of my methodology, like seriously. And so that's the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. It's more expensive. It's actually software where when you have an ideal client, you enter that name into the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, and it starts generating checklists for you and your team to manage those ideal clients. But the first thing we do with an administrative manager is we teach them, and this is immediately when a new administrative manager is hired, we start teaching them in the toolkit the five initial toolkit practice management tools. And we tell the administrative manager, you know, this is sort of an assessment. So, you know, well, here's the training for these five tools. And now it's in your hands to show us your skills. So we do this as an assessment of a new administrative manager, and we set it up as an expectation when we hire them. We say, well, we think you'll be perfect for this job, but let's give it a try. My expectation is that you're going to implement these five toolkit practice management tools in less than 30 days. So I give them 30 days to implement these five. Let me walk through them, all five of them, and then I'll go back and show you each one. I'll spend 5 minutes on each one. So the first one is a prioritized action list for administrative manager. Now, this is nothing more than a to-do list. We set it up as a spreadsheet initially, and we ask that they use our tool, our spreadsheet, for the first 60 days. And I'll show you why when we get over there, but it's to use our prioritized action list template, at least for the next 2 months. If it's working well, I suggest you just keep using it. But if after 60 days, you've accomplished what we are setting out to accomplish with our format, then if you've got some other cool tool, or, you know, if you want to do this through your CRM, or, you know, there are a lot of apps out there that manage to-do lists, but we ask that you use our format for the first 60 days. The second tool is called the Project's Weekly Status Update. It's a weekly report providing the progress on each and every project that's currently running in your firm. And so I'll go through that. It's a spreadsheet and it's updated. It's the administrative manager who updates the advisor once a week using this tool, that this report format. Okay. The third tool is called the Best Way. And it's called the Best Way because it's the best way of documenting any process or procedure in your firm in 20 minutes or less. So one of the problems that I encountered on my own early on, and that I encounter with advisors all the time, is that there often aren't documented processes for things that affect clients. So I make the case that for no other reason than consistency, but I could give you a ton of other reasons why it's smart. You and your whole team, and coordinated through your administrative manager, you and your whole team should be documenting every process that affects a client, that touches a client. And in that way, you'll increase the level of service for your clients by documenting these, and you'll increase the consistency of the experience of the client, because our objective is to create an extraordinary client experience. And as you know, if you've ever stayed in a Four Seasons hotel or a Ritz-Carlton, an extraordinary client experience doesn't just happen. It's by design. It means that there are documented processes to make that happen. And then the fourth tool we call the focus solution. It's used only in situations where you're planning out a project or you're resolving a problem. So the focus solution is a tool. It's used whenever you're starting a project or whenever you have a problem, like a project drifts off track somehow. So that's the focus solution. And then the last but not least is the interaction log. So I'll go through that. What the interaction log is basically is notes from a phone call or a meeting. All right. So specifically, if there's ever any interaction between two members of your team or a member of your team and anything that relates to any of your clients, then there needs to be an interaction log, which is nothing more than a format for providing notes from that interaction that just occurred. Okay, so let's move. Let me actually go over to the site and let me show you where these things are. Okay, now I'm going to start with the prioritized action list. All right, so if you don't know where to find what we're looking at right now, just contact us. So if you're in this program, I have already set up for you folders in Google with all these files, and we're just going to spend 5 minutes on each of them and go through them. So the one we're the tracking is why I set this up originally, because I am encouraged you to start tracking your activity as it relates to non-clients on a weekly basis. This is where all your client acquisition is going to come from. And so that's the main reason I did all this, but let me go through some of these other tools so you can see what's here. So tool number one is called the Administrative Manager's Prioritized Action List. Let's look at it. All right. This is the format that I ask every new administrative manager to just use this for the next 60 days. And then at the end of 60 days, if we want to change to some other method of tracking action items or to-dos, then we might consider that. But let me show you why I make everyone use this format at the beginning. All right. So forget all these colors and forget the numbers and just look at this from the standpoint of what's here. Let me start our timer. I'm going to spend 4 minutes going through this and then I'll wrap up in the 1 minute that cuts me off. All right. So every action item is you're trying to fill out as much of these columns as possible. And when I say you, I mean the administrative manager. So for each action item, should it have a priority number? Well, yes, if it's going to get done in the next 7 days. That's what makes our format so important, that if you're looking at this prioritized action list of your administrative manager at least 3 times a week, which is what we recommend, then anything that's got a number next to it, or in this hypothetical, I've got 8 here, you know, anything with a number, it's the administrative manager signaling to you that they're planning to get this done in the next 7 days. So what are then all these colors? Well, that if your administrative manager put numbers against every action item that's going to get done in the next week, then they could tell you and should tell you at least 3 times a week where the invisible line is that's going to get done today. So all these colors, just consider them imaginary lines. We're going to delete them when we actually start using this. But let's say your administrative manager pulls this up at least 3 times a week to show it to you. They're going to tell you 3 things when they pull this up. And this is their agenda, not yours. And they'll do this in 5 minutes or less. They're going to say, oh, hey, Mark, This is our status update check-in. Let me spend a minute and tell you three things. So here's what's gotten done since the last time we spoke. Now notice down in the bottom, there are tabs. So they list everything. They go over here and they have moved everything over that actually got completed. And they go through and tell you, here's what's gotten done since the last time we spoke. And then if you go after that report, you go back to the main list to tell the other two things on the agenda. And then here's what I plan to get done in the next week. And that's anything with a priority number. And then finally, here's what I plan to get done today. And that's where they say it's this invisible line. So just so you know, here's everything I've done since the last time we spoke. That's over on the items done tab. Then you come back here and you say, here's what I plan to get done in the next 7 days. And oh, by the way, those first four items, I plan to get done today. And what does this allow for? This allows for you as the advisor to look at this and do something that very few advisors are able to do. It's to check whether your opinion of the priority of their work is in agreement with yours. You're the two of you. So if you notice, for example, down not on even on the list is a task down there with some no number that is a really important project that you gave to your administrative manager. But you notice that there's no even aspect of that project that's got a number on it, which is a signal to you that they're not even going to start this project in the next 7 days. This is a sign from heaven for you to notice that project down below the numbers and say, hey, quick question. That project that I went through that I see is down here at the bottom, I think that's a much higher priority. When were you planning to start that? And so your administrative manager says, oh, I was going to start that next week. There's my timer. Let's reset that for the next tool. So let me just wrap this up by saying, this is a conversation that allows you to say, I have a disagreement about the way you've prioritized things, or just to alert your administrative manager. It could be something simple, like you could say, that item that you've got as number six, that really needs to get done today. Can you move that to today? And what does that allow for? It allows for your administrative manager to say, yes, I'm happy to move that to get up the priority to get done today instead of later this week. But what that means is that I can't do everything on the list that I was planning to do. So Mr. Wise, trusted advisor, you know, Mark, can you tell me of the four things I was going to do today, which ones can I push or delay or, you know, beg for time from you? You know, what doesn't have to be done today now that you've put something new on my plate? So I think the rest of this is self-explanatory. The main thing I wanted to tell you is these messages will get done today above this line, will get done this week above this line. It's just to say that those lines are invisible lines. Just delete those first thing and have your administrative manager start reviewing this with you at least three times a week. And final shot, it does have a column assigned too. I also recommend that the administrative manager also track your prioritized action list. And so it may not be something that they're tasked with doing, but they should want to know what's on your prioritized action list so that they can help you make sure those things get done. So you can have the administrative manager just track their own tasks here, or you can take my advice and have your administrative manager track both your prioritized action list and theirs all on this same sheet. All right. And notice that I have importance, high, medium, low. That if you've ever read Stephen Covey's Seven Habits, this is kind of from that. It's urgent and important. I think not every task has a target date. There are important tasks that don't have a due date, okay? But everything needs to have a priority. So my parting shot on this is just make sure with your administrative manager that whenever they add a new task to their list, at the very least, they mark whether it's high, medium, or low priority. All right. Okay. Back to the Secure Cloud Vault. So the next item on the list is what we call the project's weekly status update. So let me pull that up. I'm going to set the timer for 5 minutes, and let me just kind of walk through this and see how fast we can get through what this is and how to use it. Again, this is the administrative manager's job to track this. I am proposing that there are four projects that are primary: client service, client acquisition, building and leading your team, which I've got on here listed as filling team vacancies, but the big project's called building and leading your team, deliverables team. And then fourth is the best way processes. In other words, the fourth project is, are you documenting processes every week? And so what's that project? How's that project unfolding? So does that mean you don't have other projects? Yes, you can, and you should instruct your administrative manager to list other, maybe you have a client appreciation dinner coming up. Yeah, just add whatever projects you're in the middle of that are currently up and running, and just make sure they're on this list so that you can get a weekly update. Then let me walk through the columns. So what is the project priority? I put in here what my priority is. Client service is more important than client acquisition, but client acquisition is critically important. So it's the second most important thing. I put building and leading the team as the third highest priority. And fourth is documenting processes. So if you add a new project, let's say you've got a client acquisition event coming up next month. So you're currently running that project to prepare for that. If you add that, all you need to do is your administrative manager needs to assess with you, like, where do these other projects fall in priority? So just make sure that column A is filled out for every project so that you know, here's the number one priority project, here's number two, number three, number four, and so forth. So this is a report that is accessible by everyone on your team, or should be given access to not only to you, but anybody else that works in your office should be able to see this, and the SMEs, every SME. So let me walk through this. So column B is, you know, what's the client, what's the project name? So, okay, list the project name. Who's the project leader? I recommend it should be someone other than you as the trusted advisor. You know, this is the whole idea of managing a team effectively, giving them responsibilities and telling them, look, I put my administrative manager in charge of client acquisition. Does that mean she's in charge of acquiring clients? No, she's in charge of making sure that the project is moving forward and that it's on track. And of course, I'm the one that goes out and actually acquires the clients, but it's my administrative manager's job to make sure that this project is on track and moving forward. So, and then column D is on a weekly basis, it's your administrative manager has to assess, are each of these projects on track or off track? If it's on track, you just state yes, like I have here. But if there are any projects that are off track, you have to mark that as for this week. No, it's not currently on track this week. And you're going to be able to click this cell to go to another tool that we'll cover in a minute called the Focus Solution, which in essence is the plan to get from where we are now to back on track. In other words, the Focus Solution, if you clicked on it for projects that are off track, it's going to give the plan of how we're going to get back on track. Then you have steps 1, 2, 3, which I'll gloss over for now. There's our timer. Let me reset that. Let me finish up. So let me gloss over that for a minute. This should be a link to the last status update that was conducted on all these projects. That is going to be a link to a tool called the interaction log, which I will cover here in a minute. So, but that's the link to the last most recent update for each of these projects. It's just the notes from that meeting. And then here is for every week, you just type in today's date. So type in when you're updating this, your administrative manager, they will put in the date that they're updating it each week, and then they will fill in each of these cells for each project. Let me just open one and show you what they're supposed to enter in there. It's just two things: the status of what happened with this project last week, like just what are the main headlines of what got done to move this project forward last week? Or put another way, what are the action items that got checked off as completed last week regarding this project? And then next week is what plan, which is typically this week, it's a list of what is the plan that will get done in the next 7 days. So we recommend that in this, when your administrative manager fills this out, that when they use these terms last week and next week, that they actually put the dates in there so that if somebody on the team pulls this up, they know what we're talking about. And they can easily see, oh, okay, I see from that in that date range, in that 7 day period, these things got done related to this project. And for these items down here, and this date range, here's what the plan is to get done, let's say this week or next week. So it's to clarify that. And that's pretty much it. It's the administrative manager's job to update this on a weekly basis. And then after they've updated it, to pick one day to sit down with you and go through it. So it's the administrative manager's job to keep it updated weekly. And it's the administrative manager's job to sit down with you as a trusted advisor at once a week to go through this whole thing. So what do we have here? If a project ever falls off track, like let's say client acquisition is off track because you've been focusing on client service, well, then you'll be able to click on this link to go to the focus solution and see what the plan is to get back on track. All right. So every project is either going to be on track or there's a plan to get it back on track. Do you see the value of this? If your administrative manager was coming to you weekly to go through this, can you see how this would keep every project either moving or, you know, at least no more than 1 week goes by letting a project fall to the back burner unintentionally? All right. Okay, so that is the project status update. So what's the next one? The best way. So now for the best way, this is the best way of documenting any process in 20 minutes or less. Let me go in here and show you this folder, and then we'll set the timer for 5 minutes and go through it. All right. So there are two formats for this. The one that I've provided you is the online format. So let's open this template. Okay, so let's say you need to document a process or your administrative manager needs to document a process. Just like we did before, you make a copy, and this is, let's say this is the best way of getting back on track with client acquisition. All right. So I recommend that you keep it in the best way folder and you make a copy, and then you'll get this form and you can just start filling it out. I'm going to show you how to fill this out, but you back on track with client acquisition. Let's see. I did not start my timer. My apologies. Okay. So now that you know how to make a copy of this form, let me actually show you over in the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, which I'm happy to share with you, the training on how to document any process in 20 minutes or less. Now, let me pause a minute and say this. Don't get frustrated if the first few processes you document take more than 20 minutes. Just always set the timer for 20 minutes. And what you'll notice over time is you'll get better and better at it. And a couple of weeks from now, you'll be able to do what I'm saying. You'll be able to document any process, no matter how complicated, in 20 minutes or less. But it's like training as an athlete. You're going to have to set the timer and try to go through this quickly. Otherwise, you could spend an hour documenting even the simplest of processes. And so don't let time get away from you. Now, let me just walk through this. Why do we need to document processes? Well, it's for consistency and increased productivity. And how about this? Training. So let's say you have to let a subject matter expert go, like an estate planning SME is not pulling their weight. So you've got to let them go and you've got to bring in a new one. Imagine how powerful it would be if everything related to each of your SMEs was documented in a process so that when you bring in the new one, you could at least say, here were the processes in place for the last estate planning SME. We can edit or update this, or we can throw this out and start over if you want. But I just thought you might like to see, here were the procedures that were being followed before you came along. So, and the same goes for everyone on your team. Let's say your administrative manager has to move out of the city because of their spouse or something. And so you got to find a new administrative manager. If every major procedure in your business was documented, can you imagine how easy the training would be for the next one? So this format that I am about to show you covers what I call the 14 essential elements of a well-documented process. So I really don't care what format you use. All I'm saying is, why don't you try the best way? Because it is the simplest way to cover all 14 of these essential elements of a well-documented process without even having to think through those. You don't even have to know what the 14 things are. You just, in essence, fill in the blank. So let me walk through this. As you saw me do, the first step is to name the process that you've chosen. So you've selected a process that will benefit your firm, and it's either you or your administrative manager. We recommend the administrative manager be the coordinator of this and encourage everyone on the team to document processes using this method. But it's up to the AM to set a weekly goal and say, you know, we need to create 5 processes a week, and just to make sure we keep documenting processes. All right, so you name the process the best way of fill in the blank. So for this example, it's the best way of answering the phone. So you noticed all those blocks in the best way over at the top, like relationship manager, backup, today's date. Well, in the Microsoft Word version, it's off to the left. It's a little bit different format in Microsoft Word. And if you want the Microsoft Word version of this, because you use Word instead of Google, fine, just contact us and I'll be happy to provide it. But who is in charge of this? Who is the relationship manager? Well, that's the name of the single individual who is in charge of this process, so that if somebody else comes across this process and they have a question, they know who to contact. All right. Good intentions. We'll see if we can cover how much we can cover in 5 minutes. So you name an individual, not two individuals. Name one individual as the relationship manager responsible for keeping this process updated. And then how often will this process be updated? Let's say quarterly for a new process. And then you can shift to annually if it doesn't change after it stabilizes and it doesn't seem to be changing much. The date this project needs to be reviewed next, this is a date, like a month, day, and a year that this process will be again reviewed again by the relationship manager. And then there always needs to be a backup. Like I might put my administrative manager as the relationship manager for a project, but I would put myself, if there's no one else, as the backup. So let's walk through the form. Again, the way to understand the best way is you start in the northeast corner and you document the process in clockwise order. So it seems a little counterintuitive at first, but here's the first 6 steps of the process. And then you hop over here, and then here's the last six steps of the process, but you don't have to have 12 steps. It could be a process with just three steps. Let's keep going. So the first step is you establish the first step and the last step. So in this example, the first step is you answer after no more than three rings. Okay, so this is again answering the phone. What's the last step in the process? Well, the last step in the process is to confirm every phone call was in fact returned within 24 hours. So this is kind of assuming maybe it was a client or something and there was a message. Well, first step is answer the phone promptly. Last step of the process is confirm every phone call that needed to be returned was returned within 24 hours. So what's next? Then you go through each step of the process and you fill out the remaining steps in the process. It can't be over 12 steps. It's got to be can't be less than 8-point type either. So it's got to be readable and it's got to be less than 12 steps. So whoever's creating the process has to abbreviate their words because on each step, it needs to include two things. Who's the individual on the team responsible for each individual step? And on each step, it lists what's the time element. So is it one day after the last step, or is it 2 days before the next step? Or, you know, there has to be some comment about the time relationship for each step, if it has a time element. Okay, so in this case, the administrative manager is the relationship manager. It's going to be reviewed every 90 days. The next date is September 14th, and the client service assistant is the backup. So now, do you see how if you set your timer, you could, using just very brief words and just sticking with the headlines, not all the details, but just sticking with the headlines. Here's the steps in the process. Even if there's just two or three steps, that's fine. So where's the greater detail? Because some of these steps may be quite complicated. Well, that's where you put the final thing, like where are the details for this process? And you might put not applicable if there are no other details, but just notice that after all, this is either Word document or Google document. So you could say you'll find the steps on the pages below. In other words, if some of these steps are more complicated, you could put on pages below. And let's say step number three is very complicated. Then you could put the headline of what step three is, and then you could put in parentheses, see detail on pages below, and maybe on page two, it's like a full page on how to do that step three. Okay, so that is the best way of documenting any process in 20 minutes or less, or eventually in 20 minutes or less. Okay, so we got two more tools to go. Let me see if I can get it in 5 minutes. At least they're less than 10 minutes. How's that? It's not 20 minutes per tool. All right, so the next tool is called the Focus Solution. Again, you have a folder for that, and there you have a template. So you open the template. Again, you're going to make a copy. Once that opens, you're going to make a copy of this document by going to, you know, File, Make a Copy. Let's say this is the Focus Solution for getting back on track with client acquisition. So remember, we did a best way process on that. Well, what is the best way? It's going to say create a focus solution. Anytime a project drifts off track, then the process is if it's off track, you catch it before at least once a week. You catch the projects that have drifted off track and you fill out one of these focus solutions. So remember when we were going through the projects list, and if we said if a project's off track, you're going to click to a document. Well, this is the document you're going to create. I say keep them in your focus solution folder, so don't change the folder, and it will launch and it will start a focus solution for you. Now, I'm going to explain how to fill this out, but let me just say, in this case, your goal is to do the first five steps in 20 minutes or less. The final step, which is to outline the strategies for getting back on track, that will take longer than 20 minutes sometimes and often. So your goal is to finish step five, which is the bottlenecks step, and then everything above that. So all of this, those five steps, the goal, the end result, the today's date, the target date for getting this done, and the bottlenecks and roadblocks, all five of those things, that's what you're trying to get done in 20 minutes or less. All right, so it's still a little bit opaque. Let me get the instructions for filling out the focus solution up in front of us. Let me get the timer going. Let's see how far I can get in 20 minutes. So let's walk through this. The focus solution is to be used whenever there's a project that's new. Like I've got a project to deliver an extraordinary experience at our client appreciation dinner to be held 60 days from now. So that's a project. Okay. So that's the project. The other time you use a focus solution is when there's a problem. And my advice on that is, don't allow anyone to come with you to you with a problem ever again. The culture in your firm needs to be that no team member approaches another team member with a problem. No, they spend the 20 minutes that's required to fill out the focus solution. In other words, don't come to me with problems of some project that's off track. No, take the 20 minutes, fill out the focus solution, then I'm happy to go through it. Let's go through the focus solution so I can see what the obstacles are. All right, so let's walk through this on how to do this. So the first step is to write the goal. Now, if it's a problem, then that's not a goal. So let's say the problem was the client acquisition project has drifted off track. Okay, that's a problem. The question is, how do you flip it around and put it on the focus solution as a goal? Well, let's say, well, if client acquisition is off track, then the goal is to be on track with client acquisition. All right. So in this example over in the toolkit, the goal is to obtain clients' information to produce an income tax projection. This was a real situation in my office. My administrative manager came to me and said, you know, how can I help make sure we get clients' tax projections completed before the end of the year? I know we have a tax SME and I know that's their job, but part of the administrative manager's job is to get the client to produce information and documents. So that's what my administrative manager was asking. You know, it's like, you know, how can I help get from the client whatever we need to get so that we can have the tax SME do the tax projection before the end of the tax year? Okay, well, how do you state that as a goal? Well, the goal is to obtain a client's information to produce an income tax projection. Do you see how I flipped it around from a problem into a goal? So you state the goal. Then the next step is you fill out what's the end result. So, okay, if you were to obtain the client's information, what would be the end result? Well, the end result of that would be we can complete every client's income tax projection prior to November 30th, which is our target date for completing every ideal client's tax projection. Okay, so far so good. Next step in the focus solution is to note today's date. So you just write today's date when you're filling out the focus solution. The question is, what's the target date that you want to be current on this, or that you want to have mastered this, or, you know, it's basically what's the date for this goal to be completed. Okay, so ignore the dates on here because obviously I did these examples like 13 years ago, but it's today's date as opposed to the target date to get that goal done. All right. So now how do you fill out So you've just filled out four of the five steps. Do you think you could do that in less than 20 minutes? You've only got one more thing to fill out to finish it within 20 minutes. And that's this step number five. Reset, see how much more I can cover in a minute. So my administrative manager started filling out bottlenecks and roadblocks. This is otherwise known as obstacles. So she wrote, well, I don't have the client's contact information. And she also wrote another obstacle is I don't know if we're allowed to contact clients. And I don't know. So this was a brand new administrative manager who literally knew nothing. Like first day on the job. And I said, we need you to help get these tax projections completed. And so we showed her how to fill out the focus solution. And she said, okay, happy to do it. But here are some of my problems. I don't know where the client contact information is. I don't know which trusted advisor has the file for the client. I don't know which client is normally dealt with for issues like this. Like, is it all clients or is it just some of the clients? Yes, it's just the ideal clients that we do this. Okay, good question. So there, your job when you fill this out is to list all the obstacles. In other words, what stands in the way between where we are now and achieving this goal that's stated above? So what are the problems? What are the obstacles? What are the bottlenecks and roadblocks? Just list them. And then, and only then, you don't write a thing in column six, which is the strategies to address or eliminate each obstacle. No, you don't even start that until you've got these first five steps done. All right. Once you've got all the obstacles, then and only then you can start filling in the strategies. And this is the part where you can approach another team member for help. I would recommend always fill in strategies that occur to you. In other words, if nobody helped you, here's what you would consider a strategy to either mitigate or reduce the risk of the obstacle stated, or to eliminate or to address every single obstacle, you know, that's listed. So right next to each obstacle is, I would suggest each team member try to propose strategies. That shows us how resourceful they are. But even if they don't know where to start and there's nothing listed in column six strategy, then it's okay to come to me, the trusted advisor, or they can approach another team member. At least now somebody could see, you know, where you're stuck. Okay. And that's the focus solution. So, and then you see how the focus solution, you know, could, let's say 75. So it's a one pager, but you know, here's a listing of all the obstacles preventing this goal from occurring. And then after that's been completed, it allows the individual to fill out strategies or to get help with strategies to address or eliminate each obstacle. Now it's a Google Doc. I had you keep it in the Focus Solutions folder. Why? Because if you're working on a big project that involves two or three people, maybe one of your SMEs, maybe the administrative support person for the SMEs involved in this project, the trusted advisor may be involved, the administrative manager, there may be four or five people involved. By keeping it in this Google Doc format, you could hold a 20-minute meeting with all parties concerned and just explain, you know, here's the goal, here's the target date, here's what the obstacles are. You could sit there for 20 minutes and have all four or five people involved in the project crowdsource this right before your eyes. Like tell everybody, if something's obvious to you on any of these individual obstacles, just start typing. Propose what you think would be the strategy to address or eliminate this bottleneck. And so can you imagine how much you could get done in 20 minutes if four or five people are on the same document typing simultaneously? Okay. Or I suggest you shut that meeting down after 20 minutes and just say, now take whatever time you want to give them, take 24 hours, just go in there after this meeting and fill out, you know, whatever you didn't have time to get to now. Now, guess what? You've got everybody on the team who's involved in this project actually helping solve whatever the problem is. Do you follow me? So that is the focus solution, my friends. Now we come to the last tool of the five toolkit practice management tools. The final one is called the interaction log. And for that, I'm going straight to the toolkit to show you what it is. Why? Well, because the format of where these interaction logs are kept is entirely up to you. I'll remind you in a minute what they are, but let's start with where they're stored. I recommend you start a folder called the interaction logs and that you start creating documents for each individual interaction log. Now, you've got this folder that we're working on together. You could put the folder there, but if you use some other cloud service like Dropbox or ShareFile or some other box or whatever you're using, we don't care where they're kept. That's why I didn't make a folder for you, because every advisor might keep them in a different place. But let me set this for 4 minutes and let's see how far I get so I can at least have some limit to wind me down to quit talking about this. All right. So what is the interaction log? Well, first and foremost, it's a note or it's a document for anything related to a client that involves one of your team members. Okay. So the way I always explain the interaction log is, the tax SME reached out and had a 10-minute phone call with our financial planning SME. What are they talking about? Oh, the tax SME is saying that they heard in the dry run prep meeting that Ted and Lynn Smith, one of our ideal clients, has a question about how to purchase their next vehicle. You know, they've asked, should I pay cash? Should I lease the vehicle through our business? Or should I just get payments and set it up through the bank? So there's three options. So the tax and the financial planning SME talk, it's just notes from that conversation. I mean, if I'm giving you the high level of what an interaction log is, it's the date that it happened, the date of the conversation, it's the individuals involved. So in this case, the financial planning and tax SMEs. And then what were the headlines? So like picture bullet points of what was discussed, not tremendous detail, just bing, bang, boom, the highlights. Here's what was discussed. And then fourth and final, what were the action items that were discussed that are the next steps after this call? So what's going to happen next, in other words. So that's the high level of an interaction log. But let me just go through and show you the format. And the reason I'm not telling you straight up like how to keep these, it's because some administrative managers keep these as emails. And we recommend you don't just keep it in your email inbox, like if you're using Gmail or if you're using Outlook, don't just keep it as an email. No, print it out as a PDF, but it could have initiated as an email. In other words, you send out the interaction log via email, and maybe you have your whole office doing it this way. And so it means the email has to have the format listed, but it's done in an email. And as long as the administrative manager is copied on it, it could be just a PDF, or it could actually be a document. Or, some people use Asana, different tools for where these interaction logs are kept. My only rule on where they're kept is everyone on the team has to have access. It can't be in your CRM that. If your insurance SME is not going to be given a login to your CRM, which we don't recommend you do, it's got to be accessible by everyone on your team, including all the SMEs, so that when there's an interaction that's relevant to a client or is regarding a client, that there are notes from that meeting that everyone else on the team could read so that they could kind of catch up with the two that spoke. So it's just making the notes available from the interaction if it involves a client. All right. So that's the where it is. Let me actually go through the format with you. Where is it? Here we go. I'll make this just a little bit bigger. So write this down. This is the format. The interaction log should have all of these elements. It should have the month, day, year, and date and time and venue. Like, where did this take place? I think I might be able to finish this in 1 minute. So you note when and where the meeting took place, who was involved. That's individuals interacting. Purpose of the interaction. Okay. You know, two SMEs discussed giving advice to the client on purchasing a car. That was the purpose of the example I gave you. Now, best outcome is optional. It's only if this interaction was planned in advance, okay? If by contrast, you're making an interaction log because a client called into the firm and your administrative manager is doing an interaction log of an ideal client called into the firm just to let us know that they just had their fourth grandbaby and it was, you know, 8 pounds, 2 ounces, ouch, and it's a boy. If that's even legal to say. So, you know, but that's serendipitous. There was no best outcome hoped for in advance. So if it wasn't planned in advance, just skip best outcome. Only put best outcome if it's like two SMEs. So the best outcome would be that we settle on the one best way to recommend to the client to buy the vehicle. Do you see how that might be the best outcome of the interaction between those two SMEs about purchasing a car? Then the next one was last step. Well, if there were no last steps, then it can be left blank. But let's say the last step was, in this instance, you know, we had a client progress meeting. The client said they needed a new car. And the trusted advisor told the client, let our team just, you know, ponder and calculate, do the math, what the best way to acquire that vehicle should be. And we'll get back with you by Friday. Okay. So the last step was we promised the client an answer by a certain target date. I'm going through kind of a hypothetical with you. Highlights of the interaction. That's the main part of this interaction log. That's just the notes from the interaction, the bullet points of what was discussed. So every interaction log is going to have highlights of the interaction because that's what was discussed in brief. And then actual outcome, outcome accomplished. Again, that's left blank unless there was a best outcome above. So the best outcome was to nail down a single best way to purchase the vehicle. Let's say the tax person says they should just finance it through the bank. It's like 1%, you know, it's better to keep their money invested in other things than just finance it. Okay. So the actual outcome accomplished was we know which to recommend to the client, it's finance the car. Okay. And then the next step, that's if there are any action items, it needs to be listed there. So the next step would be alert the trusted advisor as to the answer, and then let the client, next step is then let the client know within one business day, which is before the deadline. And then the final thing is individuals this interaction affects or may affect. This is who needs to be copied on this. Like, who are all the people on the team that are actually involved with this issue? So, you know, maybe it's the money management SME who kind of needs a heads up if there was going to be a sale of an investments to buy a car. So you can, at the individuals this interaction affects, you can copy however many other members of the team need to see this. But again, I don't care how you document these interaction logs as long as all these items on the template are covered. But you can save these interaction logs as a document. You can save them as emails that are then saved as PDFs. They all should be saved in a single spot so that if individuals on your team need to go hunting them down, you could find them later. But the point is that that's the interaction log. It's nothing more than notes from the interaction. And it's, and when do you make one? It's whenever there's anything involving a client that involves an interaction between team members, an interaction between somebody on our team and the client's bank or the client's institution, like any interaction between any two individuals related to a client needs to generate an interaction log, which is nothing more than the notes from the interaction. All right, so let's, that's all the tools. Let's go back and get back on track, and then we'll finish this up. All right, so the ones highlighted in yellow are the five toolkit practice management tools. I'm telling you this, you get these five up and running, put your administrative manager in charge. The prioritized action list is updated daily. The project's weekly status update and the best way are updated weekly. The focus solution is only updated when there's a problem or a project. And the interaction log is only filled out whenever there's an interaction involving a client situation. Okay. Once these five tools are up and running, again, we give every administrative manager 30 days to get trained on this and to get up and running. So if you have questions beyond what I just covered today on any of these five, contact us. Let me know what questions you or your administrative manager have, and we'll go through them. But when these five are up and running on a weekly basis, every project will either be moving forward or there will be a plan to get it back on track to moving forward. And you won't experience what we see often, which is some project just goes week after week after week of slipping behind and falling off track. And, you know, say client acquisition falls off track. How many weeks can you even allow that to happen? You know, you've got to have money coming in. So at least this way, everything in your business is being juggled skillfully. And no project is going a week without at least acknowledging that it's off track and attempting to put a plan together to get it back on track. And so if you have questions on these other things, the expectations conversation, that's actually the trusted advisor needs to sit down with every team member and set clear expectations. Down on number seven, the idea appraisal. That's another form. And rather than fill it out when there's a problem, it's if somebody on your team has a brainstorm, a breakthrough, a light bulb moment, a great idea, we ask them to fill out the idea appraisal. It takes, again, less than 20 minutes. And I tell every team member, if you don't have time to invest at least 15 or 20 minutes organizing your idea so that I can understand it, like, don't bother. You know, it's only if you think it's a great idea, then spend the 15 or 20 minutes it takes to fill out the idea appraisal. And if you want to see it, just let me know. You could go in your folder and just go look at it and see if you could figure it out. The exception report, what is that? Well, that's a toolkit tool that's only used if a member of your team is not going to meet a deadline. So imagine if you lived in a world where either you or somebody on your team establishes a target date for something to get done for a client. What are the odds that that target date comes and goes and nobody on your team ever alerts you to the fact that we have a problem? We have something that is now overdue. Well, that's where the exception report comes in. It's a standard on that we recommend in the toolkit that it's the responsibility of every team member, if they're part of a project that has a target date and they are afraid that that target date might be missed, it's that team member's responsibility to submit an exception report, explain the situation, including an alternate plan. In other words, I can't do it by this Friday, but I've got plan B. Can you give me till Monday? Like, maybe it's just asking to buy time, but the exception report is submitted before the deadline, because if they submit it after the deadline, that's unacceptable, because then what am I thinking? This team member doesn't take deadlines seriously. So the exception report is submitted by the individual that's going to miss the deadline. It's submitted before the deadline, And it's submitted, not just, it's not automatically accepted. So it needs to be accepted. So, and it's got to be sent to the administrative manager, who will pass it on to whoever's going to approve it. So you have a target date, you're afraid you're going to miss it, you fill out an exception report for, and you send it to the administrative manager and just hope it gets accepted. The administrative manager's job is to, within one business day, get it in front of whoever has the authority to approve this. Usually it's the trusted advisor. And if it's accepted, we'll let you know. And hopefully, cross your fingers, say a prayer, assume that it'll be accepted. Because, you know, as long as it's not a client upset, then, you know, then we try to approve the exception reports. The goal of all this is the online meeting plan. If you're not sure what that is, because we've talked about it in past meetings, ask me a question and I'll give you the answer. And then everything assumes that you have a document called the general standards of the firm, so that when a new team member comes on board, they sign this, so that they understand that every process has to be documented using the best way. If you're going to miss a deadline, you have to submit the exception report. If you have a problem, that's fine. You can come to other members of the team for help, but you got to fill out the focus solution. Do you follow me? The general standards explain to every team member, here's what you're responsible for as it relates to the general standards here at this firm. The general standards document sets the culture for what matters in your firm. And if you, and I've shown examples of it in past webinars, if you want to see it again, or if you can't find it in the archive, then just give me a question on it and I will be happy to cover it for you in more detail. So the five we covered today are what we call the primary or the toolkit practice management tools. These are the primary practice management tools that we recommend that you give to your administrative manager to get into place in the next 60 days. If you or they have any questions about how to get those implemented, just ask us. We will help. And that's it. As always, we recommend that if you want the best out of this program, you'll contact us. If it's a practice-related question or if it's something about your business that you want to work through with me, leave a message. I'll either get back with you, or if you don't hear, that's a good thing. I will cover it in the next monthly session. And the objective, as always, is in the Advisor Pact monthly program, at least, is for you to make the Advisor Pact pledge to each and every one of your ideal clients, that you've made this pledge of four promises that you will commit to living up to for each ideal client. And these are the four expectations, thankfully, that the most affluent clients that we've ever managed have told us, you know, these are the four things that you can't find in any advisor. So I would say some advisors might do one thing on this list, or maybe two things. There is no advisor in your community delivering on all four of these things: protection, attention, coordination, transparency. So that is the purpose of the program. You have a module called the Essentials of Advisor Pact, which I would encourage you to go back through if you're not sure what I'm talking about. But this is the point of the program. By delivering on these four promises, you will generate unsolicited client referrals. And that's the objective of this program: to exceed your clients' expectations, so that they almost have no choice. They've got to talk you up to their friends because you're the only game in town. You're the best. Anyway, as always, I wish you all the best this month. If you have any questions, give me a shout. Otherwise, I'm Mark Little.